Good morning, Paul. Good to hear from you. So how are things?
Oh, fine at the moment. As you probably know, I'm an actor as well as a writer, and I'm working closely with Father Christmas these days.
Oh, now then, that's letting the cat out of the bag a little bit, isn't it? Father Christmas.
Well, you know, as I say, working closely with.
Closely. Fabulous. So thank you so much for joining me this morning, because clearly you are a busy man. But
oh, it's a pleasure, Gary.
There we are. And I was just talking to you whilst the news was playing there, and you were saying that down there in Folkestone, the weather is not so good. So there we are. Hopefully you can bring some cheer and some sunshine to people later in the day.
I hope so.
Good stuff. So now, Paul, we're going to be talking about two books that you're involved with. But before we get into the meat of the subject, as we say, we want to find out a little bit about you. So fair enough, you've let the cat out of the bag that you do some acting. So fill us in a little bit, if you will, first up, about your story. I'll give you a whole 60 seconds, if you like.
Well, I was originally in education for many years, finishing up as head of profession for deaf children in Barking and Dagenham, and part of the school's inspection service there.
Yes.
As I saw retirement approaching, I turned right, shall we say, or
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did something I've always wanted to do, which was train as a professional actor and then start writing. So towards the coming up to retirement, I reduced my hours, which gave me time for writing.
Sure.
And I've been taking on acting work as well.
So all in all then, your retirement years have probably been very, very busy.
Yes, that's true, actually. Life does get busy. It's not so much retirement as realignment, really.
Well, that's a good expression, isn't it, realignment? Yes, because it's another phase of life, isn't it? And giving you the chance, giving all of us the chance, in fairness, to, as you say, turn left or right and think, let's do something different now. And it sounds to me as though you've used your time wisely.
Thank you, Gary.
So, we have two books that we need to talk about. One of them for children, another one for the older adult population. Let's start off with the kids. Six Kids Save Planet Earth. I've got the cover illustration in front of me here. Looks like lots and lots of fun, but let's hear from the horse's mouth, as it were, what the basic gist of this story is and the sort of age group that you're pitching the book at, Paul.
Yes, of course. Well, the book's designed for children between about 8 and 12 or 13.
Right.
I'm sure you know Sean Russell.
I certainly do.
The head of Candy Jar Books.
Yep.
And he suggested an idea to me one day that children might be involved in adventures during lockdown, when they had no one to turn to and they were thrown on their own resources. And he specifically wondered what would happen if they discovered their parents had been replaced by aliens.
Well, it's a question that a lot of children are bound to ask, certainly.
Absolutely. So I thought this sounds like an interesting idea, and I ran with it. And the first story in the book is very much based on that. The children come down one morning to find their mother acting very strangely, and gradually they work out that something has gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They know they can't go to anybody, so they're thrown on their own resources. And in the end, it's the smallest one of all. There are six children.
Yeah.
And little Mitzi saves the day, the 6-year-old.
Right.
So, you know, it's heroes come in all shapes and sizes is the message, I suppose.
Well, that is an important message. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it looks like it's going to be a great fun book. I know it was published a week or two ago, and it's being sort of available to people all over Wales through the Welsh Book Council. So was this pretty much your first stab at writing?
No. I have a regular hero who now has cropped up in 5 books.
Okay.
Charlotte Holmes. And because of my work with deaf children over the years,
yes,
I decided that the heroine of my first book would be a deaf person.
Okay.
And Charlotte, or Charlie, mm-hmm. is 13 at the beginning of the books, and is the great-great-granddaughter of the great man, Sherlock.
Ah, yes. Well, there we are. So it runs in the family then.
Definitely. You didn't know that Sherlock Holmes had children.
No, that's actually a fair point. Fair point.
Neither did he.
Ah.
Well, during the wilderness years after the Reichenbach falls, he goes to France and does some work there, and he meets again Irene Adler, who of course is married, but she's now a widow. And yes, this is all explained in the preface to the first book. So mm-hmm. So there's Charlotte Holmes. So she's involved with 5 books.
Yes.
With her best friend Joanne Watson.
Right.
And although they have particular needs of different sorts, Joanne is on the autistic spectrum.
Right.
It doesn't hold them back from catching crooks and solving crime and helping the police.
I see. So fair enough. So obviously you've run a series, or have a series of books then with these two characters in, which clearly must have done pretty well for you to be up to sort of book 5 or 6 or whatever it may be. But you've obviously hedged your bets for Christmas this year by not only having this one book published, 6 Kids Save Planet Earth, for the younger generation, but then what looks a really absorbing book called The Killing of Saint Nick. And I was telling our lovely listeners a little bit earlier, a little bit of the gist of the storyline, which obviously has a theatrical background. And of course, now that you've mentioned again that, you know, you've been doing some acting, it all falls into place.
Yes. You can read too much into these things. I often think that people who decide that Shakespeare wrote a particular play because of what was happening in his life might just have over-egged the pudding slightly. But yes, there's a little bit of me in there, in the sense that our hero is an actor,
yeah,
who is playing Father Christmas in a country park, and he makes his way back to the dark cabin where they get changed, and falls over his colleague, who's lying there, unfortunately, deceased.
Right.
And so it all takes off from there.
And is, as a matter of interest, was his colleague also playing Father Christmas?
Yes. They take shift and shift about.
Yeah. So therefore, there is reason to believe he might have had a motive, because he could have been jealous of the other Father Christmas.
Exactly. And of course, he falls over him and gets covered in his blood. So.
Well, that doesn't help. That doesn't help.
When the first police officer arrives, he's there trying to clean his hands.
Yes.
And covered in blood.
Right. So it looks a little bit damning against him from the word go.
I'm afraid so. Yes, it's not looking good for him.
Right.
On the help of his brother.
So this is a book which is absolutely ideal Christmas reading for people.
I would like to think so. I also think it's a book for the whole year round.
Right.
In the same way that you can read Hercule Poirot's Christmas, you know, any time of the year.
Yeah, surely. Stands up. So where did the original sort of idea for this one come from, Paul?
Well, I was sitting backstage one night at the Father Christmas hut,
yes,
if you like, and with nothing to do in between shifts, and I just started writing this down, you know, thinking this would be a good place for a murder.
Right.
Because, you know, no one would find the body for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, and it went on from there. So it's been sort of quite a few months in gestation.
I'm sure.
But,
and you know, so the new character that you're using here now, are we likely to see him or others then crop up in future books, do you think?
Oh, yes. I've got in mind a book where Allington Sedgbrook, that's his name,
mm-hmm.
is actually writing the story himself for the next one.
Okay.
So, yes, it's the beginning of a series, with any luck.
Wow, there we are. So tell me then a little bit about your writing style. Now, are you one of these people that is a straightforward sort of 9-to-5 writer, or are you one who prefers to burn the midnight oil?
No, I tend to write in the mornings, mm-hmm. And have a break sort of 2 or 3 hours around lunchtime.
Yeah.
And then write again a bit later. And I'm a pantser, Kerry.
Right.
I don't know if you know what that is.
I don't, but you're going to tell me. I can tell.
Yes. Well, a pantser is someone like Stephen King,
right.
Or Jeffrey Archer,
mm-hmm.
who sit down in front of the computer and think, what am I going to do with my characters today?
Right.
They don't have a plan. So people like J.K. Rowling, on the other hand, have a very carefully worked out plan in advance. I'm not like that. I just sit down and start writing.
I see.
And it sort of unrolls in front of me.
Well, I suppose there we are. It's to each their own, isn't it? Different styles and so on. And yeah. I mean, clearly, you've mentioned a few big names there, Paul. So you clearly, you know, you've got tough acts to follow there, haven't you, really?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I'm anything like those.
There we are.
Amazing authors, I have to say.
No. So did you use some of your family members as guinea pigs in the early stages of some of these works to see how they would react to them?
Actually, to be honest, I didn't really. I mean, my wife, then Kate, had a look for me, and she thought particularly the Charlie books had something worth pursuing.
Yes.
Some of the ideas out on friends and so on.
Right.
Again, they thought, well, you might as well go on with it, see how it works out.
Absolutely. And with the children's book, I mean, again, that's clearly an area where you absolutely need to do your homework, so to speak. And, you know, if you do get the thumbs up from some 10, 11, 12-year-olds, then obviously you know that you're in business.
Exactly. And I go to schools whenever I can. And read some of the stories.
Yes.
And also try and sell the books to the parents. But
absolutely.
I do some writing exercises with the children, talk about the books. And generally speaking, they're very well accepted.
I've no doubt. No, I've absolutely no doubt at all. So now, if people want to find out a little bit more about the books that you've done, the two that we're obviously chatting about this morning, but or anything else, do you have a website or Facebook pages, etc., that people can go to?
Yes, I've got a website,
okay.
Kerry.
Yeah. Yes. And have you got the details of that you can give our lovely listeners?
Yes, it's Paul W. Robinson, author.co.uk.
Excellent stuff.
And it was set up for me by Omri Stevenson, who is a graphic artist and actually has written books of his own.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good to know. And that reminds me to ask you the question as well. The graphics in the children's book look absolutely super. So who was the person behind those?
Oh, yes. It's remarkable. I can't take any credit for it, but it's a fantastic cover. Martin Baines is his name.
Martin has done a heck of a job. I mean, the cover with the big globe and then all the different characters, that are featured in the book on it. I mean, that really, I would think, is the sort of thing that is going to grab kids' attention straight away.
And you'll notice there's a Viking on there.
They go
back in time to return a Viking girl to her. To her own time in the second story,
and then
there's another story in there as well. So there are three stories in there altogether, so which explains the
all the different characters on the cover. And I mean, it's a great way of getting a couple of bites at the apple, isn't it, for kids? Because three relatively short stories gives them the chance to sort of get to the end of one and then be ready following day then to read another, whatever it may be. It looks to me like a really fun book. And that age range is an important one, isn't it? Because let's be honest, parents and grandparents and so on read to their children, hopefully, when they're relatively young. But I mean, you really need stuff then to help the kids kick on a little bit, don't you, with reading? Because let's be honest, with things like, you know, computers and one thing and another, there's other things then that can take them away from the wonderful world of books, aren't there? So this age range, you need to make sure you've still got those kids there and interested in reading.
Absolutely. And they're becoming independent readers very much by 7, 8, really.
Yes, yes.
And this is sort of aimed at those children. It's about the same level, perhaps slightly easier, than the Harry Potter books.
Okay.
In terms of the language used and the concepts and so on. It's if they can read Harry Potter, they can certainly read this.
Brilliant. So, what does the new year hold for you, Paul, with regards to your projects? What will be next to appear from you?
I've got another Charlotte Holmes book in the computer.
Yes.
I've written a screenplay for one of the stories in the book, the first story.
Yes.
And I'm sort of showing that around, see if anybody takes any interest. And I've written another story involving one of the characters in the book, which will be published as a separate little book on its own.
Got you. Oh, well, I mean, you do sound to me like you are going to be a very busy man over the festive season and into the new year. Well,
there's plenty to go on.
It sounds like it. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Paul, all the way there down in Folkestone in Kent. And I will certainly let our lovely listeners know the details of the books again in the last half an hour of the programme. But as I say, thank you for joining me. Please let me wish you a very, very happy Christmas to you and yours. And fingers crossed.
The same to you,
Kerry. Well, that's very kind, Paul. And obviously, hopefully, we'll have the chance to have another chat sometime in the new year when there's another book ready for publication.
Well, I'll look forward to that, Kerry. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Well, have a great day, Paul. And as I say, best of luck, obviously, with the books. And I am sure they are both going to prove to be very, very big hits for you.
Thank you very much, Kerry.